Monster Man, Episode 287, Lizard, Giant to Megatherium.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Animals section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's patron, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I do for the Deities and Demigods book what I've been doing for the various monster books for different editions of the game. So thank you very much, Ben Paulson. Your support means a lot to me. The first monster in today's episode is the Lizard, Giant. Again, we see that there are four previous types of Lizard, Giant that were listed in the basic set. These are the Chameleon, the Draco, the Gecko, and the Tuatara. And the lizard that we get here is the Footpad Lizard, which is basically a giant lizard that can climb walls. This is a bit weird because, as far as I can tell, this is the distinctive characteristic of the Gecko. I looked around a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't claim that I did, like, exhaustive research, but I looked around a bit and I tried to find references to footpad lizards as something other than geckos, and I just couldn't. I did find a lot of information about the footpads of geckos, and they're extremely weird. I read about them until I came across a discussion of Van der Waals forces and hammocker surface interaction, or possibly haymaker surface interaction, which sounds more like getting punched. And I have learned that the way in which you calculate the force involved is that F equals negative AH over 12 pi D cubed, where AH is the haymaker constant, and D is the distance from the gecko's foot to the surface. So I'm glad we got that sorted out. However, although it sounds like I don't like the footpad lizard, giant, actually I do, because you can ride them, or use them as beasts of burden, and I think that the image of either player characters or baddies riding around on giant sticky-footed lizards, regardless of how little sense that makes. I mean, I did okay in high school biology, but I found it difficult, and that's the last time I've really thought about the topic. Like, I'm not saying I understood all that stuff about Van der Waals forces, but I do think that I didn't see anything in here that suggested that a much, much larger animal would be able to stick to a wall, right? Because presumably the old square cube problem, as they get bigger, their volume increases exponentially, right? So it's gets much bigger relative to their surface area, and therefore presumably so does their mass. But whatever, it's a fun image. And I just like the idea that, like, you know, you're on these mountain peaks struggling to get up the windy paths that lead up to the castle at the top, and, like, these kobolds go scurrying past you on their giant wall-sticking lizards. I think that's a fun image. Next up, you got the magpie. And like a lot of animals in the creature catalog, the magpie comes in normal or giant. And helpfully, we are given a list of items that are small enough that the giant magpie, or the magpie, giant, can steal them. And those include things like jewelry, daggers, potion bottles. So not large items. They're not going to go flying away with your mummy sarcophagus. But there are a lot of things that they can steal. And I mean, this is a bit unfair on magpies specifically, but that was definitely the first thing that I thought when I read the magpie entry was, we're going to get a Castafiori Emeralds type situation here where the magpie has swiped something, and maybe the player characters get blamed, or maybe you just have to go through dangerous territory to get it back, which is the suggestion given in the creature catalog. I feel like some kind of master thief could train giant magpies to steal things, or at least just, like, make a giant magpie nest for them to come back to and scoop up any particularly valuable items that they bring back. Or maybe just a bold gang of halfling burglars know where the giant magpies make their nests. I think all of those are good possibilities. I feel like, you know, corvids are typically pretty intelligent, so it shouldn't be too hard to semi-domesticate a magpie, giant. I feel like there's a lot of potential there, actually. Finally, we have the Megatherium. Now, this is a type of giant ground sloth, and last episode, I grumbled a bit about the Megatherium, you know, is a prehistoric giant mammal that is, for some reason, not in the same section as the Titanotheer, which is another prehistoric giant mammal, which is inexplicably in among the dinosaurs. In fairness to this section, the Megatherium is much closer to our time than the Titanotheres, right? Titanotheres are around tens of millions of years ago, or at least 10 of millions of years ago, whereas Megatherium was around like 10,000 years ago. So Megatherium coexists with humanity, and indeed there are paleontological finds that show, if they're that recent, I guess maybe they're archaeological finds, that show that that humans hunted and butchered the Megatherium. Fair enough. It's also, its name literally means big monster, which I think is pretty cool. Actually, included in the original dinosaur episode, but cut for length, was a conversation where Allison and I talked about the novels of Michael Scott Rohan, the Winter of the World books, which I believe I've had reason to mention before, and they're set during a fantasy-ified version of Earth's Ice Age. So it's a fantasy world with a, you know, a different but still recognizably kind of earthy ecology. The first one's set sort of on the western coast of North America, and it expands a bit, and eventually you find yourself in other parts of North America, and then in the Mediterranean, or that what would eventually become the Mediterranean. And there, he makes good use of prehistoric fauna, and even suggests that things like dwarves and elves are other prehistoric hominids. So, for example, dwarves are basically Neanderthals. And this reminded me of a suggestion by two-time Monster Man Contest winner James Bailey, when we were talking about prehistoric animals. And James suggested that glyptodons, which are basically kind of giant armadillos with tail hammers, would make excellent mounts for dwarves. A lot of fantasy settings have dwarves riding on goats or riding on bears, but let's expand our imaginations a little bit. We're able to draw from all parts of Earth's prehistory, as well as just making stuff up. And one of the most underexplored areas of adding animals to fantasy games is the wide variety of different mammals that existed sort of in the Ice Age and earlier. So I think there's a lot of fun there. And it would also, like, if we gave the Baluchotherium, which was in the Monster Manual, don't forget, something to do, it would kind of explain what it's doing there, because the Baluchotherium is in almost as a piece of historical or prehistoric trivia, which is that it's the largest land mammal. But, you know, who cares in a world where there are giants? And this kind of would go hand in hand with the idea that dwarves are human-like but not human. You could kind of put them in their own almost parallel ecosystem, because that's what you get with a lot of these animals, is that they evolve to fill a particular ecological niche, and therefore they have recognizable similarities to other types of animal, only ultimately they didn't survive into our modern ecosystem. I think that's interesting. I think there's something to be said for it. Okay, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be continuing our journey. Well, I say that every time, and I'm wrong every time. Our next episode is a special episode. We're going to talk about gremlins, those mischievous sprites who mess with machines and particularly aircraft, and also the stars of the 1984 comedy directed by Joe Dante. And once we're done with that, then we're going to move on and talk about the octopus, comma giant, the owl, comma giant, the oyster, comma giant, and the piranha, parentheses, cold water. All of that right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.